Bless you. Please be seated this morning. Thank you, worship team. This morning we're going to talk about waiting on God, and let me ask you, I already know the answer to this, but have you ever asked God to give you patience? not a single one of you have ever prayed that, right? Have you noticed, like, there's two things that you usually, when you ask that, when you're asking God to give you patience, it's because you need them right then, right? Things are going on in your life and you want to be impatient, and so you're asking God to give you patience. But here's the thing that I've discovered is that when you ask God for patience, he puts you in situations where you require it, where it's needed, where you have to practice it. It isn't just, he doesn't just give it to us. He puts us in places where we learn it and where we have to exercise it. One time I'd heard a prayer. It was, God, give me patience, and if you don't give me patience, you better give me bail money, which I thought was kind of funny and accurate sometimes for some of us. waiting's a part of life, right? And patience isn't about how long we wait. Patience is about how well we behave while we wait. Because you can wait seconds and act inappropriately, or you can wait a really long time and behave properly. Waiting is a part of life. And so what I actually have for you this morning is I've got a couple scenarios that I want you to think about and consider how you would react to these things. The first one is this. You're at the drive-thru in the coffee shop, okay? So you're on your way to work, and you're at the drive-thru or the coffee shop, and the person ahead of you, you're almost there, the person ahead of you is having an extended conversation with the coffee shop employee, right? It's going on for a while. You're waiting, and you look at the time on the radio in your car, and you're thinking, oh, when is this going to wrap up? Now think about that. You're probably not waiting long there, a minute, 2 minutes, but it seems like a long time, right? How would you react in that situation? What are you thinking? What's going on? Are you maybe happy? You think, oh, isn't that great? They're enjoying community together. Look at them. Look at them. Isn't that fantastic? Maybe I should start a small group with them. They obviously know one another, right? Is that what's going through your mind? Maybe you think, I should get out of the car and join in the conversation. Perhaps I could introduce them to Jesus and invite them to church. Or are you thinking, maybe if I rev the engine and lay on the horn, maybe they'll get the message. Isn't this amazing? We don't like the wait, do we? Okay, what about this one? You're at the waiting room at the doctor's office. Now, I know we have doctors attend this church. Let me tell you, I appreciate what you do. This is not to make fun of you. But I grew up with a doctor that, no joke, you made an appointment, you knew that you were at least 2 hours waiting. He was just always behind, but he was a good doctor. So you're waiting in the doctor's office for like an hour and a half. How do you respond to that? There's one of the doctors saying, "Not well," usually. are you thankful that you finally get to catch up on that, that 1993 Reader's Digest that you never got to finish? Is that, do you maybe begin to tell the other patients that you have a really contagious disease? You're seeing if maybe you can clear out the waiting room. If you have a lot of faith or expectation, you might begin to say, "Can I pray for you to be healed?" and see if you can clear out the waiting room that way. isn't it incredible how waiting pushes our buttons? I can tell by the way you're laughing that you all know it does. Waiting. Our time is valuable to us. We know it is. And how we respond when we have to wait says something, not just about the value of time, but it says something about the character that's being built within us. How we spend our time says something about what we value, and it says something about our priorities. And how we respond to delays or to waiting also says something about what we value in life. And because when we're forced to wait, you know, and I use two very different scenarios there, one where you're probably only waiting a couple minutes and one where obviously you wait much longer. How we respond to those says something about what's going on inside us, about what we value, what we prioritize. You know, when you're in the drive-thru at the coffee shop, you are valuing your time over the time of other people. Now, we also would understand that society, you know, socially, that's not the way things are supposed to work, but we value our time. How we respond to delays or waiting says something about our values and our character. When it comes to our faith, setting time aside for God, which really means that we delay our own plans, setting time aside to Him, to wait on Him, is a valuable discipline in our life. I don't think we would ever look at waiting on God with the same kind of attitude we might look at these scenarios with, right? Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't days and times where you think, oh, I just don't have time to meet with God, because, you know, life happens. It's a valuable discipline. And we're talking about this today because here we are at the start of a new year. It's a time where we often evaluate what the last year was like and what this year is going to be like. We set some goals. This is a good time for us to consider waiting for God and what it means to spend time with Him. Time with God is not a task to be accomplished. It's a relationship to be pursued. I'm going to repeat that because that is the theme of today. It is not a task to be accomplished. It's a relationship to be pursued. One time I'd read a meme on the internet that I thought was funny, and it related to time and how we perceive time. And it was this. It said, it's funny how a husband's "I'll be home in 5 minutes" is the same as his wife's "I'll be ready in 5 minutes." And that seems to be, I don't know, that's true in our lives. How we spend time matters. It's not, time with God isn't something to be accomplished. It's a relationship to be pursued. And all relationships take time and involve waiting. All relationships take time and they involve waiting. Sometimes you're just waiting for the other person to get home or to be ready. Sometimes you're waiting for a change or a shift in attitude or spirit. Sometimes you're waiting for good things, right? But the fact is that within any relationship, time and waiting is a part of it. Growth of any kind takes time. Takes time, including making a relationship grow. And so we're going to look at some scripture that relates to this today. It might not seem obvious at the start, but it will. This is Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It says, God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And then Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. So speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So here God is using this imagery of a physical body to illustrate the relationship between Jesus and the church. The church is not a physical building, right? That this is not the church. The church is people. We are the church. while we identify this as church because it's just how what we call it, but the fact is that the church is not a physical building. The church is us. It's God within us. We are the church. The body of Christ is the church. And every aspect of our body is held together by Jesus. Every aspect of our body is held together by Jesus and meant to be held together by Jesus. I want you to know, for me, one of my primary goals for us is that Jesus leads us in everything we do. And you might think, well, that seems obvious. It isn't always obvious, to be honest. But I want Jesus to lead us in everything that we do. As we gather as a church, I want Jesus to lead us in everything we do. But also, as we leave and we go about our individual lives, what I desire for you is that Jesus leads you in everything you do. That he guides you, leads you, that you invest in your relationship with him, that you take time and wait upon him. There's a divine order that's laid out here in Ephesians 4. All things have been placed under the feet of Jesus. And sometimes we can take that to mean that we are under the feet of Jesus, but we're not. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Jesus. The feet, of course, are a part of the body, right? Doctors, yes, the feet are part of that. So we are under the head, who is Jesus, but we are the feet. We are a part of his body. We aren't under the feet of Jesus, we're under the head. All things, it says, are under him. All things held together by him. What that means for us, if we're his feet, is that we go where he tells us to go. We do what he tells us to do. How often, and I'm guilty of this too, how often do we just go about our day and do our own thing? We set our own agenda and say, this is what I'm going to do today. And we maybe ask God to either bless it, or somewhere along the line we think, oh yeah, right, hey God, how you doing today? Right, and we maybe include him. But what God desires, because what a relationship takes time, growth takes time, what God wants from us is just to wait. And say, God, here's my plan, but I'm going to set my agenda aside for you. What is it you desire to do? Now I understand, some of you would be like, okay, so tomorrow morning before I go to work, I can ask God if I should do that or not? It'd be nice, right, if he said, no, don't go to work. I suppose he might. And if you feel God say that to you, you should listen, but that isn't a loophole. All right. There is a divine order that we are under Jesus, who is the head. We do what he tells us to do. We go where he tells us to go. And in that, Jesus has given a mandate to the church, to us, his people. Right? He tells us, he says, go and make disciples. All nations, make disciples. He says, teach them the things that I've commanded. Now, in the Hebrew, the idea of teaching something didn't mean just communicating information so that they know it. It meant showing them how to do it. And so you see Jesus do that all the way through with his disciples. He shows them what it means to disciple. And I particularly like where he tells them, he says, you know, so go, and he says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper. He says, cast out demons, proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. What he's saying is, go and make the kingdom of God obvious, evident within this world. However that looks, push back the things that hold people captive, the darkness that wants to set in. Be a part of his kingdom in such a way that it reverses those things in people's lives. That's why it's important for us to stay connected to him, to understand, to wait on him, to develop a relationship with him. Because those things, sickness, the demonic, they are subject to Jesus. They're subject to him. Just as we are, but we aren't subject to them, we're subject to Jesus, and so are they. And so we go where he tells us to go, And if you do that and you encounter these things, if Jesus has told you to go somewhere and you go and you encounter something demonic, sometimes your response might be, God, why did you do that to me? But if he's done that, it's because he actually has prepared you. He's actually equipped you. His spirit is in you and on you in such a way as to deal with that which you are encountering. They're subject to him. We need to keep it, we need to remember and remind ourselves that, that God desires to release his kingdom here. And for him to do that, his people need to stay connected to him. Just as the body is connected to the head. Seems obvious. Your body doesn't survive very long without the head, right? More than that, think about in the natural, your head is, well, not only can you not live with it, and some of you are thinking, well, I know lots of people that seem to live without anything going on up here. you interpret your world, you perceive your world primarily starting right here. What you see, what you hear, what you taste. Even, you know, when you touch something and feel it, it's all interpreted through the mind, through the head. We get our nourishment primarily here, right? Food goes in here. The head is important, obviously. You can live without certain parts of your body. You can't live without the head. And so, it's the same in the spirit realm. It's the same in our spiritual journey with God. You can try and do things on your own, and you might have some success, but if you don't stay connected to Jesus, who is the head, you'll find that you misinterpret things, that you don't see things correctly, that you don't hear things the way God would want you to hear them, and that you'll find yourself malnourished spiritually. Do you see how this works? And those are the instances where you end up in a situation that overwhelms you instead of you overcoming. Staying connected to God matters. Staying connected to him is vital for us to grow, to know him, to know what to do and to where to go, to know the mind of God. We need to stay connected. And so in that, it's important for us to wait before we work. In order for us to stay connected, it's important that we wait before we work. We understand that we're here. There's things for us to do. That God sends us out and tells us to disciple. He tells us, you know, to pray for people, to encourage people, to minister to people, to talk to them, to love them, to be kind, and to do things for them. But it's important for us to wait before we work. Now, there's different kinds of waiting. There's different kinds. You can wait on somebody by serving them. That's why when you go to a restaurant, they're called waitresses or waiters, right? They're waiting on you. There's that kind of waiting. There's the waiting that serves somebody. That is a kind of waiting we're to do with the Lord. But then there's also the kind of waiting where you set aside your own wants and desires and you make their agenda your agenda. This is the kind of waiting that I'm talking about. Both. And we need to make his agenda our agenda. His priorities our priorities. Waiting needs to precede working because the work that we have to do needs to be directed and empowered by him. We can't just simply do our own thing and ask God to bless it. We have to do the thing he is asking us to do. He's directing us to do, to partner in the things that he's doing. When we work before we wait, when we do things in our own way, in our own strength, and by our own agenda, we might have good things in mind, but when we do that, we become like Isaiah 64 and 6, which says, we have all become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Some versions say filthy rags. Anything that we do disconnected from the Lord, disconnected from faith, is polluted, is contaminated. That can be hard for us to accept and receive, because you can think, yeah, but I had good intentions. I had good things in mind. But anything that we do disconnected from the Lord is polluted or contaminated. We're talking about this at the start of the year because what I'm asking from you is to dedicate yourself to staying connected to Him. We'll talk a little bit about what that means in just a moment. But I'm going to ask you to dedicate yourself to be connected to Him. You know, from the way that we start our day to the problems that you encounter in the day, and even the moments where things are going really well, each and every one of those is a time or a moment where you can invite God to be a part of what's going on. You can invite Him into it. You can invite Him into your work, into your relationships, your home, your school. Invite Him into your inner life. Invite Him into it. You stay connected by inviting Jesus into your frustrations. Invite Him into your frustrations. Don't just talk to Him about your frustrations or ask Him to fix them. Invite Him into your frustrations. And you might think, well, I don't know exactly how that looks. It can look different in many different ways. So just invite Him in and then wait. Jesus, I'm inviting you into this thing that is frustrating me. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What attitude do you want me to take? Because what I want to do is rev the engine and lay on the horn. What do you want? What do you have? Invite Him into your hurt, your anger, your disappointment. Equally, invite Him into your joy. Invite Him into your excitement, your anticipation, your hopes, and your dreams. Invite Him in to every aspect, area of your life. You wait on Him, which means you dedicate yourself to serving Him, even in the midst of your frustration or your hurt, your disappointment, in the midst of your joy and your anticipation, your hopes, and your dreams. You make His agenda your agenda. Take, just in a moment, consider your normal day. Consider the routine of your day, and how could you invite Him to be a part of that in an increasing fashion? How could you do that? How could you ask Him and invite Him in to be a part, more a part of every moment of every day? With the desire, the goal to make His agenda your agenda. So, how do you wait then on God? How do you wait on Him? Because this isn't a task to be accomplished. It's a relationship to be pursued. If you've spent any time within faith, you know, it would seem obvious that I'm going to talk a little bit about spiritual disciplines. And those are absolutely vital to us. What I mean by that is taking time to read the Bible, taking time to pray and to worship, taking time to serve other people, whether it's in the workplace or in your home or a ministry here in the church. We are created to serve. Daily pursuit of God is vital, important to us. What's often happened, though, within us, within many of us, is that daily pursuit becomes the task to be accomplished. Have you ever experienced that? It becomes the rule by which you live as opposed to the relationship that you pursue. Have you ever said, okay, have you ever made the commitment, I'm going to read my Bible and pray every day? You know, and you set a goal in mind, I'm going to do it for 30 minutes. And I'm going to get up early, right? Normally, I get up at 6. I'm going to get up at 5:30. And so, first day, you get up at 5:30, and you go out into your living room, and you sit down with your Bible, and The next thing you're like, and it's 6:15, right? Or maybe you start out good and you're doing good, but then life goes sideways and you miss a day and then you feel bad. You feel like you've failed, but this is not a task to be accomplished. It's a relationship to be pursued. The discipline is for us. It's not about earning something from God. The Bible is an invitation into his presence all the time, into an encounter with him. And so he desires us, you know, to pursue him. And some of the reasons that spiritual disciplines were started, and to be honest, spiritual disciplines are a fairly new thing within faith in terms of a private daily thing, because lots of people didn't have access to Bibles until within the last 100 to 200 years. And so we pursue him to know him. We have to keep that in mind. So here's part of what I'm trying to get at. Routine's a good thing. Absolutely, routine's a good thing. But if your routine doesn't go by route, then it's just an opportunity to invite him into something new. Invite him into. You might think, oh, I feel like I failed today. Guess what? Invite him into your failure. What you think is your failure, he won't view it that way, especially if you invite him into it. This is a relationship that we're pursuing. When I was a young man, I got saved just before I was 18. And one of the things I began to practice really early on was I would talk to Jesus like he was right there as a person. Which you're like, well, he is right there. Yes, he absolutely is. What I mean by that is I would speak to an empty chair. Or I would, you know, as I was driving in my car, I would talk to him like he was sitting right beside me. I would talk to him as I would talk to a friend, because he is our friend. And so I just began to talk to him. Now, if you're driving in your car with friends, the other actual people, you probably shouldn't do that. I mean, unless they're doing it too, I suppose. But and every now and then I'd be self-conscious because I'd be driving down the road talking and somebody would drive by and kind of, you know. You know. You just pretend you're singing to a song. But I would talk to him like he was there. My goal was to pursue the relationship with him. And so I try to still live by that principle, where I just talk to him all day long, as best I can. And like anybody else, there's times where I get to partway through my day and go, oh, I feel like I've barely connected with you today. Another thing that I've tried to practice over the years, and my goal in telling you things is to encourage you, but another thing that I've tried to practice over the years is as I would wake up in the morning, so you, especially you know that state where you're awake but you're still a little bit sleepy, but you're aware of the world. In that moment, I would try to make a practice of saying, good morning, Lord. Good morning. And I'd just talk to him, tell him that I love him. Tell him that I desire him. Tell him I want to be with him. See, sometimes we have this idea, this concept that it has to be this very structured, set thing. And for many of us, we need that structure and a set thing. But this isn't a task to be accomplished. It's a relationship to be pursued. If the structure helps you pursue the relationship, then by all means, work within it. But understand, it's a relationship that we're to pursue. So, go after him on a daily basis, on a regular basis, throughout your day. The thing that will keep you then from it becoming that task to be accomplished, I believe, is this, is that you set out to love him first. Set out to love him first and serve him second. Love him first and serve him second. That isn't to say that serving him is somehow then optional. That's not what I mean. You set out to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Set regular time aside. But a relationship means being open to him in every aspect of your life. So talk to him throughout the day. Focus your heart and your mind on him, which means you have to still your thoughts. You have to quiet your emotions. Sometimes easier to say than do, right? But you quiet your emotions, still your thoughts, begin to focus on him. I'm going to share with you two ways that I know to do that. The first is by turning your affections towards him. So what I mean by that is I just begin to say, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I desire you. I want you more than anything else in this world. And that can, sometimes that comes real easy, and sometimes when things are pushing in on you, that takes real discipline, right? But tell him that you love him. Turn your heart and your mind towards him. And then the second thing that I find that helps in that is reminding myself of who he is, how great he is, how awesome, how majestic, how big and wonderful he is. So I pursue him, and I'm encouraging you to make that a priority. I'm not trying to condemn a single person here. I hope that you hear that. I am trying to encourage you to be connected to him, because anything we do apart from him that isn't connected is polluted. And my desire is that we know him more and that we're like him. We are designed to be in his presence, to be with him, to be in relationship with him. He actually invites us in. And so as we remind ourselves of who he is, of what he's like, it will lead you into his presence. He is awesome. He is beautiful and powerful. He is loving and merciful. He is just and holy and faithful. He is the God who made the mountains. You know, those of you that grew up here, honestly, you don't know how fantastic it is to see mountains every day. he's formed them. He's had them in his mind before the earth was even here. He's faithful. He is always present and always loving. Hebrews 1 and 10 says he laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens are the work of his hands. So he set the stars in place and they continue because he wills them to continue. This is how big and incredible he is. And in all of that, he knows you. He knows your name. He knows your failures, your weaknesses. He knows your victories. He knows what you like and what you dislike. He knows everything about you, and he loves you deeply and passionately. And he pursues us daily. As much as I'm calling us to wait for him, hear this morning, he waits for us. Because he so desires to be with us, to connect with us, for us to know him for who he is. In that, find within Scripture things that speak to your heart and mind about who he is. I love Romans 8. I love it. I love that he says, nothing in all of creation can separate me from him and from his love for me. Not a single thing. And it reminds me, because there are times in my life where I feel separated or distant from him. Not completely cut off, but just like, God, where are you in the midst of my life? Because I haven't been doing my best at staying connected to you. And the reminder of him saying, nothing separates you, Blair, from me. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm encouraging you to determine to be with him. Lead yourself into his presence by reminding yourself of who he is. In that, I want to encourage you that faith is necessary in that, because you may not always feel God, but know that he's there. You might not always feel him. And so sometimes faith is required to just believe that he's there, because he is. You've maybe experienced, right, where you say, okay, God, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to set some time aside. I'm going to wait for you. And you pray and you say, all right, God, go ahead and talk to me. And you wait. And you wait like 30 seconds, and then all other thoughts begin to bombard, right? And you're like, ah, it didn't work. I've experienced that too. The thing is, the thing that will guard or help you in that is you just set out to love him. It's not a task to be accomplished. Hearing him isn't a task to be accomplished. It's a relationship that's pursued. As a part of that, you also need to learn how he talks to you. God rarely, I'll be honest, God rarely talks in English besides the word. And of course, the word isn't even originally English. But most of the time, God speaks pictures, feelings, nature. You have to learn how he talks to you. We just instinctively think, God talked to me, and that he's going to begin to speak in our own English language. And I've come to find that that just simply isn't true. Sometimes, absolutely sometimes. But he's created you, designed you to be in his presence. He wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you. He wants you to connect with him. So pursue that relationship. Determine to be with him. So here's what I'm asking from you. I'm asking you to take time. I'm asking you to wait on him. Every day, throughout your day, it's not a task to be accomplished. And so, as a part of that, right, next Sunday is kind of a unique Sunday. It's a little bit different. It's a prayer and anointing service. It's a moment where I'll talk, but just for 5 minutes. I swear. But I'm asking you to take this week and connect with him and ask him two things. Ask him, God, what is it you want to do in me this year? And what do you want to do through me? Because I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you tell me to do. What do you want to do in me? What do you want to do through me? And then we're going to pray for you. So we're going to have regular worship, and I'll talk for a few minutes. And then we're going to invite you to come forward. We're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray over you. Those two things. And just trust that God has something fantastic in mind for you for this year. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to wait. We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to wait on God. John, can you come on up and just play your guitar a little? Right where you are, I'm going to ask you just where you are to take a moment. I'm asking you to wait. I understand our time's valuable. I appreciate that you take the time to be here. I really do. In this next few moments, I'm going to ask you to shut everything else out as best you can. Right? Lunch will still be there. Right? The coffee and stuff will still be there. We're just going to take a few moments and begin to shut out all the other things that you have in mind, and just begin to focus on Jesus. Begin to tell him that you love him. Just go ahead and begin to do that right where you are. I close my eyes because honestly it helps me not be distracted. So maybe you need to do that. And just begin to focus on him. Begin to tell him that you love him. Jesus, I turn my heart, my mind, my whole soul over to you. I direct it towards you, Jesus. I turn my affections towards you because I love you. I love you. Jesus, you are beautiful. You are everything my heart desires. You are good and loving. You're majestic and beautiful. You are my hiding place, my strong tower. You are the shield that protects me. You're the lover of my soul. You're the one that picks me up when I fall down. You walk beside me. You're my friend, and I love you so much. I love you, and I desire for my whole life to please you. So, Lord, I invite you in to every area, aspect of my life. Lord, from the moment, even just in this next few moments, and when we go from here, God, may we have eyes that see and ears that hear what you're saying to us, where you're leading us, what it is you desire us to do. Lord, we desire to connect with you, to stay connected to you, because you are the head and we desire to be your feet as you've designed us to be. So we wait. We wait. Thank you, Jesus. We wait. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Doesn't necessarily fit, but I feel actually in this moment that there's at least one person here that God wants you to see things in the spirit realm. He actually wants you, you're what would be called biblically be called a seer, that there's some things that you're supposed to see that are happening in the spirit realm. Let me encourage you, because I think as he's trying to show you things, you're doubting and you're second guessing and maybe even a little bit fearful. Wait, just wait on him. Look past the questions and the fear and the doubt and just focus on Jesus and tell him that you'll receive whatever it is he has for you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we desire to see what it is you're doing, what you're up to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we still our hearts, our minds before you. We turn to you. And we wait for you and ask for you to speak, to guide, to lead. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I actually, we're going to do something just, I was not expecting this. If you need prayer, it can be for anything, but I actually feel God is saying that if you're sick and you need healed, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are right now. Go ahead, just stand up thanks. If you have a sickness, a disease, an illness that you want prayer for this morning, but we're going to go after that. But if you want prayer for anything today, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. If you're around them, you don't have to stand. But if you want, just lay a hand on those people. That would be fantastic. Thanks. Hallelujah. If you want to stand, you can too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, we come to you now knowing that your will is to heal, your will is to set people free. And so, God, I ask now in the name of Jesus that every disease, every foul spirit, everything, God, that is not from you, be broken off right now in Jesus' name. And we release the life of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus into our brothers and sisters here now in Jesus' name. That, God, no more may illness or disease afflict or strike your people, but in Jesus' name, we ask, God, that you guide, you protect, and you heal now. Lord, we speak your healing over each one. Freedom, complete freedom now in Jesus' name. Sickness and disease broken. It's not allowed, it's not permitted anymore. And Lord, as we have freely received, we will freely give. God, that we may run into and encounter people that need a touch from you. God, may in those moments we see and hear what it is you're doing and what it is you're saying. For those that are dealing with something chronic, I just speak now, continued health in Jesus' name. Continued help, complete freedom, and healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for being brave enough to stand. I appreciate that. I'm going to invite everybody else to stand. We're going to respond to the Lord in worship.